Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other Podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I'm your host, Robert. My guest this evening, I guess this is something we've talked about doing for a while, and we didn't get to it until May, but my guest is Kevin, who lived a lot of fans' dreams this winter in that he had some free time and he decided to follow the team like he's following his favorite band. And we'll get into that, but Kevin and I sat together at several games and we hung out after a couple road games here and there and across the country. So I said, you know, after the season's over, let's have a conversation, talk about what you did and why you did it. So first, Kevin, thank you for joining the podcast.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So let's start with, let's start with the why here. You had time off from work, and so you decided that you were going to go to as many Illini basketball games as possible. Talk me through the timing of when you decided that and when you really made a go at it.
Yeah. So in the beginning, you know, when tickets first went on sale in, I don't know when that was, mid-October, I said, you know, I've got this free time coming up, so I should go to, you know, four or five games. Why not? So from the start, I bought tickets for Syracuse, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Michigan, all home games. And then, you know, after going to the first game to Syracuse, you know, which was my, you know, I went to the senior night game last year, you know, the win against Iowa.
Yep.
Before that, it had been 5 or 6 years since I had been to a game.
Interesting. I don't think I even knew that. Like, it's not like you're a regular attender. It was like one game the last 6 years, and then all of a sudden, every single game. That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Keep going.
And the more games I went to, the more I was like, you know, why haven't I been to more games?
Right.
You know, in the last 5, 6 years.
Right.
So, you know, after the Syracuse game and then, you know, after how we did against Texas, and then, you know, seeing the holidays coming up and being like, all right, after the holidays, you know, I've got a couple months of time to kill. What am I going to do here? And then, you know, just looking at the schedule, seeing where our away games were, seeing, you know, places I've never been before, like Lincoln, Nebraska, State College, Pennsylvania, things like that. I'm like, all right, maybe I can, yeah, I'm the type of person that gets kind of compulsive with this type of thing. So I'm like,
sure. Yep. Yep.
So I was like, you know, if I'm going to go to a few games, why not go to as many as I possibly can and just go to every possible game that's on the schedule that I can make work.
So your true run started with Nebraska then, like where you were going to like every game, right?
So Wisconsin, actually, the home game against Wisconsin.
Home game against Wisconsin. Okay. So that's early January. Let's see. I got the schedule. That's January 7th. Okay. So we're just after the holidays, just after the bowl game. You go to see us beat Wisconsin at home. And then I'll just tell that part of the story. So you came up to say hello to me after the Nebraska game. We were both kind of hanging out near the Illinois tunnel, basically. I had walked over near the bench near the end of the game and then was going back over to the media area. You stopped me, just said hello, and told me your kind of story that you had your time of that you were deciding to go to all these games. So that's where you and I first talked, and we'll get to, like, you know, going to the Penn State game together and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's your first road trip. You hadn't been to Nebraska before. You're doing this solo. So talk to me about that night of you get to see us win at Nebraska, fairly easy win. You know, first Illini road game, I'm guessing, how long? Like, when was the last time you saw us play on the road?
Oh, man.
Years other and than years?
Like, yeah, well, I guess other than, like, postseason.
Yep.
Yeah, and other than Missouri. So as far as, like, an away game for a conference game?
Yep.
I don't know if there was one.
That's great. That's great. I was kind of hoping that was your answer. I didn't know the answer, but I was hoping that's your answer. Because it's its own, like, that's the main thing I wanted to talk about. You know, road football games are one thing. Road basketball games are very interesting in just the crowd dynamics and what other arenas are like, how involved crowds are in the game, how noisy it is, how quiet it is, how on top of the game. I mean, I'm not just talking arena and environment. I'm talking just like general mood at certain schools and this and that. And it's a really fun thing to observe. You know, I've gone to almost every game in the last 3 years. So I've been in every arena and, you know, I've been to all these games. So I'm excited to talk about some of these things of, you know, what it's like following the team on the road, being one of the only fans, you know, in there who's following this. So, so Nebraska is your first experience with that. What was it like for you? It's kind of a unique NBA like arena, but it's well done. And, you know, it's a fairly enthusiastic crowd, but they didn't have much to cheer about because we, kind of put that game away. So tell me about your experience there.
Yeah. First thing I would say is anyone who's ever considered going to a Nebraska game, whether it's basketball or football, yeah, just the trip itself was easy. You know, getting to Omaha.
Yep.
Flew there from Midway on Southwest. It's like an hour drive from Omaha to Lincoln. Super easy drive on the highway. Downtown Lincoln, like by the stadium, like I stayed at a hotel, it was a 5 minute walk from the stadium. Restaurants and everything all around there, like really just great environment for someone to come in there just, you know, for a night. And yeah, you know, once you get to your hotel, you can walk everywhere you need to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the stadium, yeah, like you said, it's, I mean, I was trying to think of the best word I could think of for it. And the best thing I can come up with is sterile. It's just kind of blah. I mean, it's clean. It's relatively new relative to a lot of other places. But you know, it was nice. And you know, the one thing I would say that I remember about the, like you said, I think there were a lot of really enthusiastic fans there, like to the point of, you know, I forget what the end score was, but, you know, we were up double digits with, and clearly had the game in hand towards the end. And, you know, there's people in the crowd that are still, you know, expecting them to come back and win the game and beat us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that was, you know, you don't see that necessarily a lot of places.
Right.
You know, they hadn't given up on their team. And that was interesting.
Yeah. And, that one ended up like with we had a big run late, and the final score was 76-50. I forgot it was 26 points.
Okay.
I guess the first, so if this is the first time you're watching a game on the road, like what are your thoughts about cheering? You know, cheering is always weird on the road because you don't want to be that guy in the section, you know, standing up and going nuts and, you know, in the face of the fans, the aggressive road fan. But,
right.
You know, what were your feelings since that was your first game? What were your feelings? You know, you're going there, you're doing this solo. So what were your feelings, you know, sitting amongst the Nebraska fans?
I mean, you know, anyone that knows me will know that I'm not that type of person to be the stand-up aggressive in your face type person, you know, probably in any kind of environment, much less when I'm, you know, one of the few people in the stadium wearing orange, which I did do. Like every game I went to, you know, home or away, I was wearing orange, but, you know, didn't try and Didn't try and flaunt it or anything. And the one thing I will say is, like, every place I went, no confrontations whatsoever with any people. Like, no, after, we had some pretty brutal road losses.
Yep.
Never had anybody give me crap after any of our games or anything like that.
Yeah.
As far as, like, the crowd in Nebraska, I forget exactly where I was, but I want to say it was like fourth or fifth row off the court. I don't remember talking to, I don't know if there was even, I had actually bought two tickets for that game. Because I think it was to get the seats I wanted, I had to buy two. Like, I couldn't buy any good seats that were just a single.
Yeah.
So there was nobody next to me on one side. And then, I really don't think I really talked to anybody around me during that game.
Okay. So let's get into, like, how we, like, kind of the flow of the season for you. So okay, so Wisconsin started a run of how many games in a row? I remember you missed one, like, in early March or something like that. Was it Michigan that you weren't at or something like that? I can't remember.
So I missed the game at Wisconsin.
At Wisconsin.
Because I was in Ohio visiting family for that one. So I went to Wisconsin, at Nebraska, Michigan State, at Minnesota, home for Indiana, home for Ohio State. Went to all those. So six in a row.
And then did you finish off the rest after that? Or how many of the – I'm just trying to get the general picture of the run of how many games you attended.
Yeah, so I missed at Wisconsin. Then I saw Nebraska in Champaign, saw Iowa in Iowa City. Minnesota, that's the game that got rescheduled.
Yep.
Rutgers, I was there for that one. Penn State, we were there for that one.
Yep.
And then the Indiana, Minnesota, and Northwestern games, I was out of the country for those.
That's right. That's right.
So I missed those, unfortunately. Once I got back, went to the game at Ohio State and the home game against Michigan.
And you did not go to Purdue?
Correct. I did not. I was in Florida for that one at a IndyCar race.
Got it. All right. Okay. Yep. So that's still a run. And again, I want to, the main thing I want to, like, emphasize here is how fun that is to, you've got, when did you start your new job?
Middle of March.
Okay. So, to have some time here and just dedicate it to that. And, you spent the money on the tickets. I know where we sat for Penn State. I saw your seats at Ohio State. I saw your seats at Michigan, at Minnesota. What was your thought process toward spending the money on this? As I said in the beginning, it's almost like you following your favorite band. It's like, oh, hey, I got a couple months here. Let me go to 23 Fish concerts or something like that. I mean, that was basically the move you made. Like, what was, tell me about, like, why you decided, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this with road games. I'm going to do this with best seats I can find at each arena. Like, just set me up for how you went about this.
Yeah. So first of all, I think, ironically, if one of my favorite bands was touring around this time, I might have decided to do that before this whole basketball thing even became a possibility. But the problem is, like, in January and February, there just aren't a lot of tours going on. I don't know if it's that way every year, but this year there just wasn't anyone that I'm interested in that I could have followed around.
Right. You could have backpacked through Europe. I mean, there's,
right,
when somebody has a couple months, they do these type of things. You chose, right, instead of backpacking through Europe, you chose, I'm going to follow a line of basketball around. Sorry, continue. Yeah. Continue with what you were saying.
That type of thing also occurred to me, but then, I thought about going over to Scotland and like doing like a whiskey tour or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But the more I looked into that, it was like just the logistics of planning a trip like that, and like doing it by yourself, which it would have been, the whole oh my basketball thing became much more realistic and easier logistically.
Yeah.
Being a 2.5 hour drive from Champagne and so it's there were a lot of things that I considered, and this, became both the easiest and, felt to me like it would be the most fun. Especially early in the season, expectations were really high, and it was the type of thing where it was like, this could be a really special season, and I had this opportunity to see as much of it as possible, so I should do that.
That's great. That's great. It's funny to sit here and think about all the other things. You know, if you've got a blank slate here, you know, it's like you said, a whiskey tour. I know people who've done like a month of golf in New Zealand or something like that. You know, they've just like, you know what? You know, even people doing trips like that solo of like, you know what? I'm gonna grab my golf bag and I'm going to go explore the golf courses of Australia, you know, and it's a pilgrimage and that type of thing. And I love that in all of that you chose Illini basketball. Now we'll get into how going to all these road games wasn't, this was not, you know, the last 2 years before this were the years to go on all these road games. You know, 2023 was not exactly. What did we lose our last seven road games in a row or whatever? But yeah, you know, it's just the whole concept to me that you were telling me about at Nebraska was fascinating to me that, hey, you know, this is something, you know, people with time could do of, you know, here's what I thought about after we had that conversation that night. My wife and I were once staying at a lodge in hold on, I'll think of where it was. It was Mount Greylock in far western Massachusetts. It is on the Appalachian Trail. There's just a mountain lodge on top of basically the tallest point in Massachusetts, right next to the New York border. It's on the Appalachian Trail, and there was a guy there who had just finished grad school. He had 3 months, and he decided his those 3 months, you know, that he was going to hike the Appalachian Trail. And so he was literally walking from Maine to Georgia, and he expected to get there by like Thanksgiving, and this was like mid-September. Or early September, and that was what he was going to do. So, you know, before we get back to the season, I just have one more question about that. Of like, did you come up with a list of you know, like you said, you mentioned the whiskey thing or Scotland or whatever. Were you close to doing anything else besides this, you know, Illini basketball pilgrimage?
Definitely not close. There were a lot of things I looked into. One other thing I've always wanted to do is like go to Montana. Like Montana is one of the few states I have not been to.
Yeah.
So I started looking up, going to, and I've never seen the show Yellowstone, but I started looking into going to Yellowstone or just that area. And then I started looking into like lodging and things you can do. And then, every website I'd go on, it would say, this road's closed during the winter. You need to take this type of transportation to get to the hotel, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, that's just too much trouble for, for what I'm looking to do.
Yeah.
So I said, I'd much rather drive back and forth to Champaign than go out there and try something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it really wasn't, the alternative was like just having all this time and doing nothing, which is why I had to come up with something to do.
Sure, sure, sure.
There weren't any, like this wasn't really a plan B
Right.
unless you consider plan A like doing nothing and sitting around home for
Yeah.
the whole winter.
I mean, I love it. I love the concept. I like it just feels, you know, there's a lot of people who do these type of things now. Like, you know, there's, you know, there are people who take sabbaticals kind of thing. Like that, you know, this was a sabbatical for you. This was, you know, like this was more than just, you know, more than just watching basketball games. This was clear your head, and this was go see things you hadn't seen. So I'll stop asking questions around it, and we'll just get to it. So you know, we don't have to talk about every game, but after you and I spoke at Nebraska, you said you would be going to Minnesota, and I told you I would be up there, so we planned to meet up at that game. When did we do dinner in Champaign after the game? That was after that, right? That was like that was much later. That was like the
That might have been Ohio State, maybe.
might have been. So I see you at Minnesota. So let's just go to there, 'cause that's a bit, you know, you couldn't have two different environments. Then, I guess Nebraska is probably the newest in the Big Ten. Yeah, the newest arena in the Big Ten, and then the barn. So, what were your thoughts on the barn?
That was awesome. For a I'm trying to think where I was in for that game. I was sitting second row, and we should definitely go back to my whole philosophy on tickets and that. But the seeing second row, you're basically eye level with the court
Yes,
because they have
yes.
the raised court there.
Yep.
So that was really unique. And just the concourse there is interesting. It's very different than Nebraska in the sense that it's crowded at Minnesota.
Yep.
And yeah, just a I know you had I know you put some pictures on Twitter of where you were sitting, where you were like behind a heating vent or something.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, from where I was sitting, it looked like there wasn't a bad seat in the house, relative to a lot of other, the newer stadiums.
Yeah, that overhang is key. They don't do that kind of thing anymore because nobody wants to see, you know, 20 rows. I mean, even the overhang in Memorial Stadium for football games is a weird, you know, you're getting the upper rows there, and you can see the far side of the field, but you can't see the scoreboard, you can't see anything else. So, you know, overhangs allowed them to get people closer in the balconies, get them closer to the action, but they're a thing of the past just because nobody wants a seat where they can't see, you know, much beyond the far side of the court. But yeah, yeah, those are the, if I were to talk about the two most interesting opposites, it's the shiny new arena at Nebraska, and it's the, you know, wooden planks that connect a concrete stairway to the concourse, you know, just weirdness at Minnesota where, you know, some fire marshal made them put in additional stairs from the balcony and they couldn't make the concrete work, and they built these like wooden planks to connect the two. It is a crazy, crazy thing that you feel like you're going back 5, 6, 7 decades. So yeah, it was that game was kind of a nothing as well. Like, you know, Illinois won by 20 and wasn't really close. You know, wasn't that that was the was that on Martin Luther King Day? Am I remembering that correctly?
I think so.
That was the one that started like 5 p.m., right? Am I remembering that? Yeah. So it was just weird, you know, it's late arriving because it's 5 p.m. on a Monday. And you know, Minnesota was really, really bad, so the crowd wasn't into it. But you know, just give me your general thoughts on, you know, their fans, their arena, the vibe around Illinois, or sorry, around Minnesota basketball.
I think they definitely had to be honest, I can't remember much about their fans or the crowd. I know when we were having dinner before the game, there were a ton of fans at B-Dubs.
Yep.
But you know, the inside the stadium itself, you know, nothing really sticks out to me as far as the fans. Like you said, I mean, the game was kind of blah, right? Like, there wasn't, I don't think it was ever really in question. Like, I think it seemed pretty clear that we were in control of the game, even if we weren't winning by a lot the whole time.
Yeah.
And maybe that was part of it. But yeah, I mean, for me, the highlight was, yeah, really just the venue itself. And yeah, you hear about it on, or you read about it, or you see it on TV. But until you've been there, you know, and that's another place I definitely recommend going. Really, also really easy to get to, similar to Nebraska. I'd say even more, even easier to get to, because it's, you know,
yep,
you fly to Minneapolis, and you can take public transportation to within a couple blocks of the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, if you're flying out of Midway, there's like, on Southwest, there's like 9 flights to Minneapolis per day. So, yeah, you can, yeah, that's a very easy, just hop on a plane, hour, 10 minute, and you're there. And very close to the thing. So let's just keep going through the road games and the arenas, and then we'll talk, you know, big picture of the season and what it was like and this and that. So you were out of town for Wisconsin, but you did go to Iowa. Iowa, I was not at Iowa. That was Iowa was my wife's birthday, and so I was with her, and Tyler was covering that game, so I did not see you at Iowa, but give me your thoughts on the elementary school known as Carver Hawkeye Arena.
So the one thing that stuck out to me about that game, first of all, the fans and the crowd there was really loud and intense.
Yep.
And that was like that was a intense environment. But the thing that stuck out to me about the stadium was, I would be afraid. I can't believe that place is approved like by the fire marshals.
100%.
Because 100%. I was down in like the fifth row, right?
And that walk back up. Good Lord. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know what the capacity is there, but say you have 15,000 people and there's like 20 different walkways for all those people to get out. It was insane.
Yes. Let me just describe it for people. So the reason I call it an elementary school is because when you're walking up to Carver Hawkeye, it looks like an elementary school. It looks like a two-story building, because the entire thing is underground. When you walk in, you just think you're walking into a building. When you walk in, you're on the upper concourse, and then there are single rows of stairs all the way down to the court, surrounding the entire court. Think of it like the big house at Michigan, where there's no balconies, there's no, you know, this section and that section is separated from this. It's just one big bowl. But, you know, Assembly Hall is a bowl that has three or two different aisles that circle the whole thing, and ways to get to the court, and ways to get to the second level, and ways to get to the third level. And Carver Hawkeye is, everyone walks in at the very top and then walks downstairs. And if you are in the first row and you have to then hike it back up, it's just one long set of stairs straight up. And it's you're right. When people are leaving, I've had that same thought about, if there was an emergency here, like, there's no, you know, at Assembly Hall, people would go out. You know, the upper level will go to the upper concourse, the middle level will go to the middle concourse, people down by the court, you know, crush would go out where the crush goes out by the court, and, you know, those lower seats, people can go even go down the tunnels and this and that. Carver Hawkeye is just everybody turn around and go all the way to the top. And it's just, it's crazy. It's a neat environment to have, you know, just solid fans circling the court, but it's just really weird compared to, you know, the ease of getting to your seats and getting to concessions and getting to restrooms. You know, if somebody in the third row needs to head to the restroom at halftime, it is hike up 89 stairs, go to the restroom, and then back down the same 89 stairs back to your seat. There's no other option anywhere else.
Yeah. And the concourse there is an absolute mess. Because
yes, yes.
Because there is just the one concourse, and it's not that big. And the lines for food and beer and bathrooms are all ridiculous.
Yes. You can't have multiple levels of bathrooms. The bathrooms just have to be in the one spot. You know, Assembly Hall has lower level bathrooms and mid level bathrooms. And yeah, it's just so weird. I keep saying Assembly Hall. I'm talking State Farm Center. But yeah, it's so strange that there's not, you know, I guess when you build it like that, if you dig a hole in the ground, where, you know, you're not going to dig out more to put lower concourses and such. It's just, hey, everybody walk down to your seat. So that was a close game. So that probably contributed somewhat to, you know, it's a rivalry game. It was close throughout. I'm surprised when you say you wore orange that you didn't, you know, that's one of the places I would expect you to hear a lot. Like, I've worn orange there before and heard from fans quite a bit. So no interactions with the Hawkeye fans?
No, not really. I think sitting next to me, I think it was like a family with some small kids. And I was in the first row of like the regular seats, which is fifth or sixth row. So I had like one of those, you know, like a metal bar in front of me. So I was kind of separated from the people that were in front of me.
Got it.
But yeah, no confrontations there, somewhat surprisingly.
And this started your run of not seeing any road wins, right? Like, we didn't, wasn't Wisconsin our last road? Let me think about that. Yeah, Wisconsin was our last road win.
Yeah.
That was close game, almost pulled it out. Had been on a bit of a winning streak besides the lost Indiana, but okay, let's just move on. So we'll get to Penn State next. So Penn State, you and I had talked beforehand, and you had found some donor seats literally on the floor, first row feet on the court seats. And we each paid for one of those and decided to do that. So just give me your thoughts on Bryce Jordan and the environment and what it was like to sit literally courtside with your feet on the court, you know, inches from players at times.
Yeah. So my biggest takeaway from Bryce Jordan is that they don't sell beer.
Yes.
Which was disappointing.
Not even to the donors on the floor.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm in my mid-40s. I don't need to get drunk at a basketball game, but it would have been nice to have one or two.
Right.
I found that interesting. I thought that just wasn't a thing anymore, but apparently it is. The stadium, it was mostly empty. There weren't a ton of fans there. When I remember, you probably know better than me, but I think like the upper level, they like don't even try to sell tickets.
Yeah, they just put a curtain around
the upper level, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Correct.
Having those seats was awesome. I've been lucky enough to have similar seats like for Bulls games a few times. Being right there like while the team's warming up, you know, walking like 2 feet in front of you. At one point during the game, I think like there was like a play where like Pickett like fell over and like slid into my feet.
Yep.
And on the less positive side, you know, being 20 feet away from Pickett when he's like, I think he drained a free throw for like his 41st point or something like that.
Even the guy sitting next to us was just like, you know. Yeah, he was like, he's going to miss soon. He's a streaky shooter. He's going to miss soon. It's like, okay, he's now 15 for 19. When are those misses coming?
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite thing from that game was when DJ Carstensen explained to us why he didn't call that one foul.
Yeah.
I forget who was it. It was it Funk? I don't remember. I don't remember what it was, but it was somebody who shot a three and then came down, and the crowd wanted a foul call because the Illini player had closed out. And so a couple people around us said something to DJ, and after the missed shot, the ball went out of bounds, and DJ Carstensen, the referee, turns to that section there and explains, like, you know, once he landed or something. I can't remember how he even explained it. Do you remember how he explained the call?
I think the gist of it was that it was basically the same end result where, like, they got the ball back anyway.
Yes.
So if you called a foul, they would have had the ball on the baseline, and, you know, it went out of bounds, so they had the ball on the baseline anyway.
Was it the shot didn't go off, the shot went out of bounds? I can't remember. I can't remember how that worked. Yes.
All I remember is thinking, like, you know, I'm not an officiating expert, but, you know, to me, like, a foul is a foul. It shouldn't matter. Like, you shouldn't wait a couple of seconds to see what happens and then decide if what just happened was a foul.
Right, right. I did like, I mean, my initial reaction, you know, we sit close for, you know, the media seats in State Farm Center are very close. You know, you're behind the scorer's table, so you get to see a lot. But I was even left wondering, like, I wonder if people in these seats always, like, is this a thing? Like, do the refs turn and, like, well, see there, I didn't call the foul because, like, is this a regular thing? Or is that just a DJ Carstensen thing? Or, you know, how does it work? But, you know, over
the benefits of being a donor.
Yes, yes. I made my friend next to me. He was a trainer. He said, like, he's like, oh, I could get you in shape. So that was the first words he said to me. He's like, yeah, I could get you. And then he was, like, worried because he couldn't see past us at first. Oh, he's right. Like, oh, I'm so glad you sat back because I was going to have to say something and all that stuff. Anyway, I have the guy's number in my phone still. But yeah, it was just interesting. A, we're in the donor seats, but B, it's Penn State. And it's Penn State basketball, and, you know, there's just, you know, people want to see a win, but there's no, I don't even know how to describe it. There's no, no environment, but I don't even know how to say it. Like, they just don't have.
They just don't have the fan support.
Yeah, yeah.
I think even their student section, I recall, being pretty weak.
Yes. Yes, it's just weird. You know, this would have been a top 10 season in Penn State basketball history. And it didn't really even, you know, and Pickett goes off for 40 plus, and there was just no, there it hadn't generated any buzz that they were any good or that Shrewsbury was a good coach. I mean, you know, when he leaves for Notre Dame, every one of those fans was like, oh, yeah, I mean, we're Penn State. Like, nobody cares about basketball here, you know? So, yeah, it was an interesting game in that one player was dominating. He never stopped dominating. You know, we were kind of hoping to get a comeback and have something, and then the second half was just flat as Pickett just continued to tear us apart. I don't know if you have any other reaction to that game, but that was, you know, it was a little weird that the crowd wasn't more into it, but that's Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember it felt like, you know, all they were doing was shooting threes and they were all going down is what it felt like.
Hey, that sounds like the Big Ten tournament game. I won't continue. So then I went from there. I guess I did go. We had talked about, I think when we were in Minnesota, we talked about you had thought about possibly going Penn State and then on to Indiana. But you missed the Indiana because that's when you went out of the country, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Because at the, you know, and that was kind of a, you know, I was evaluating, like, going back to your thing about like following a band around, I looked into, okay, I'm going to be in State College, and then the next game is 4 days later in Bloomington. Are there any bands or shows or anything going on
Sure.
between there where I could road trip back home essentially? And there was really nothing. And then between that and just like the price of the tickets in Indiana, and then the fact that the Minnesota game got thrown back in there, like the one that got delayed due to
Yep.
COVID. So all those things combined, as well as my friend's wife started talking about a trip that she's taking to Scotland this fall, and just hearing about her talk about something that's happening, 8 months from that point, I was like, man, I need to like take a trip over there myself. So I went to London for a week.
Perfect. Perfect. I would ask you your London travel tips, but we probably should keep this restricted to Illinois basketball. So next time I saw you was at Ohio State, and I still wish I would have left the media. You'd sent me a text saying, "Hey, nobody's sat in this seat next to me," and I could come. But that if it had been anything less of a frustrating game, I would have taken you up on your offer. I think you sent me that at halftime. But that freaking game was so just, Ohio State had what lost 15 at the point or whatever, and here we go and lose to them. That one was also interesting in that it was like 11 a.m. game or something like that. I mean, super early in Columbus. Their fans had kind of checked out. Like, their student section was just like cheer when there's a basket made and that's it. And it was just a weird vibe, but that was the Crush game, so Crush is there up in the balcony. So give me your thoughts on what it's like at Ohio State.
So that game, it was kind of, so this one played out kind of interestingly. I was actually at a concert at United Center the previous night. I went to see Muse. So for a lot of these games, I would, well, for some, I would, stay over the night of the game. Others, I would stay over the night before and then, go home after the game. So for the Ohio State game, though, I did a in and out same day. So I showed up at Midway, with my orange and blue on and a jacket and my phone and a phone charger, and got on the plane, flew to Columbus, nothing else with me. Basically went to the game and then, flew home later that afternoon. That's the first time I've ever done that, especially without, luggage or even a backpack or anything like that. So I probably woke up at 5 o'clock that morning or something after being out until one the previous night, something like that. But I mean, that game was just, given the expectations on our team and given, where Ohio State had been, that was disappointing, but kind of par for the course as far as, like you said,
Yep,
like
road games in
road game
2023.
losses.
Yes. So that leads me to my overall questions here. We'll get to Purdue in a second, but given that that was the moment in the season of like, this team's just not going to win on the road, and this is just not the team of the last 2 years. We should be happy with 11-9 and hope we, get a good draw in the tournament. So Ohio State, are you regretting your decision? Like that was a low point this season of even losing at Ohio State. So were you at that point like, man, why did I? There's a lot of flying, a lot of hotel rooms, and a lot of this just to see us keep losing on the road. What was your general mood?
I don't think there was any regret at any point. I think there was definitely, you know, it could have been a lot better. But, you know, like I said before, like I don't think I'd ever been to a road Big Ten game before. And if nothing else, I've figured out how all these different towns work and how easy it is to get to places and where to sit next time. I want to go to any of these places. So from that perspective, it was at least interesting to see all these places for the first time to see how things work.
Yeah. Did you say you did go to Purdue?
I did not.
You did not go to Purdue. Okay. So then your road games were Nebraska, a win, Minnesota, a win,
at Iowa.
At Iowa, a loss, at Penn State, a loss, at Ohio State, a loss. Is that yeah. all the road games you went to?
Yeah.
And then you saw a bunch of home wins. You came to Champaign. I saw you yep. a couple times after those games. We celebrated at Watson's that one time. Yep. And so I guess maybe the best thing to do is just to come into this with a, you know, give me your high points, give me your low points, give me your best arena, give me your worst arena, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm just gonna hit you with a bunch of questions and you tell me. So okay. of going to all these games, what do you think was the best moment of any? It doesn't have to be a road game. It could be a home game. It could be, hey, I got to see this, or hey, it was really fun when we dominated Syracuse or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume your low point was the Missouri game because that was such a disaster. Yeah. But yeah. What would you say was your high point of all the Illini games you went to this winter?
So the one thing that the one memory that really sticks with me, I don't remember so much the game itself, but the Michigan State game. I don't remember what the score was or, but I feel like that was a close game towards the end. Right. So that one, I just remember. So for most of the games in Champaign, I drove home, you know, after the game. For that one, I stayed in Champaign. I stayed at the Illini Union Hotel for that.
Mm-hmm. Is that when we had dinner over at the iHotel?
I don't think it was that one.
When did we have I just forgot about that. I forgot that we had dinner after two games. Sorry, continue. It doesn't matter.
So I just remember, so leave State Farm Center, and I decided I'm going to go to Illini Union and have a couple of post-game drinks. And I'm walking down First Street, and I'm so pumped up about the fact that we beat Michigan State and, yep. like, you know, where we are in the season. Like, yeah, a couple weeks ago we lost to Missouri, but, you know, now we, you know, we beat Wisconsin, we beat Nebraska, now we just beat Michigan State. We got Minnesota coming up. We can totally beat them. I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is so much fun. I need to come back here and, like, get my MBA so I have a reason to, like, live on campus
yeah.
and, like,
yeah.
go to every single game. Like, I don't know why, but that's, like, the thoughts that were going through my head.
Oh, that's great.
As I'm walking down First Street on the way to Illini Inn.
It's so great that you say that. Like, I have had the same kind of moments of, like, you know, on campus after a game, and like just wanting to be caught up in the energy of it. Like I want to be a mm-hmm. student again. I want to be in Crush again. I want to be like, I want the, you know, I want to surround myself with this all winter. Like I did when I was a student, you know, and I'm doing that now, you know, I'm, you know, this is my job now, but, yeah, there is that, there's an addiction to it. There's like this feeling of like, oh man, I would love for this to be, you know, that kind of thing. Not just missing college, but like wanting to have another experience of it and do it again and that kind of thing. That's great. That's great that you said that.
Yeah. And then it was a similar feeling after the Michigan game. But for that one, that's where we met up and had dinner at,
that's
at
right.
Watson's, right?
That's right. Yeah. The double overtime. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember, like, you know, on my way down to Champaign that day, I remember being worried about, like, you know, staying awake for the drive home and, you know, being tired and everything. But I was so pumped up. I got home that night and watched the game on the DVR.
I was going to say, did you watch highlights four times? You watched the whole game. That's
yeah.
Great. That's great.
So I watched the game. I watched the post-game press conferences. I, like, got caught up on Twitter on everything that everyone was saying during the game. Yeah, I ended up going to bed at, like, 3 a.m. that night. Just because I was, like, I was so wired after that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a highlight as well.
That's great. I think it might have been, was it Minnesota home game that we had dinner at the iHotel?
It's probably no, either. I wasn't there for that one.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then I don't remember when that was.
It had to have been Ohio State or Nebraska, I'm guessing.
Okay. That doesn't matter. I get this in my head. I'm like, I need to remember exactly when that was. Okay, so low point. I volunteered that it would be Missouri because that was just such a disaster. But
yeah,
I'll allow you to list a different low point. But what would be a low point of all the games you attended?
Yeah, either Missouri or Penn State.
Yeah.
At Penn State. You know, the fact that we, you know,
spent what we spent.
So much anticipation. Right. Yeah. It's sitting on the court. Like, you know, the fact that it wasn't even like a respectable showing.
Yeah.
It was just out of hand. And we just couldn't do anything to stop them. And, you know, it's Penn State. Yeah. That was disappointing.
Yeah. And yeah.
I will say, so the redeeming thing for me about the Penn State trip is so I flew in and out of Pittsburgh, and on the way back to Pittsburgh the day after the game, I stopped in Punxsutawney and saw the Punxsutawney Phil Visitor Center where the Groundhog sees his shadow every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
Did you get yourself a souvenir? Any type of souvenir in Punxsutawney?
I bought a sticker at the gift shop.
There you go. There you go. Okay, I'm interested in your answer to this. Which arena did you like the best? So, let's cover it again. You were at Nebraska. You were at Minnesota, at Iowa, at Ohio State. Am I missing any road games?
And at Penn State.
And Penn State, yes, sorry. Yes. Yeah. So of those, which did you like the best?
I think I have to say Minnesota.
Yeah.
Just for the environment and, it's just really unique, unlike any other place that I've been or I imagine that there is other than, you know, maybe Cameron Indoor or a couple other places possibly. But
yeah, Minnesota would be so cool if they had a basketball program. Like,
yeah,
you know, if they had anything to cheer about, you know, it's like a large version of some of the old gyms of Cameron Indoor, that type of thing, like a supersized version of that. But yeah, it's just they don't have much to cheer for.
Yeah. I will say, you know, Iowa was definitely the best as far as like the experience and the environment and just the vibe of the place. Just because, you know, it was, you know, Saturday afternoon game, you know, and it was, you know, what did we lose by? 2 or 3 in that game?
Yeah, 2, I think. Yeah.
Okay. I think it was, you know, close the whole way. And just the fans were into it. And this was also, I forgot to mention this before, this was the game that Crush was supposed to go to. Right?
Yes.
So there's like the extra animosity built up around that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was as far as like the ambiance and the crowd involvement and just the noise factor, that was definitely tops.
Tell me your excuse me. Tell me your thoughts on, you got to see a lot up close when you were on the road, and even home games, you were purchasing, you were spending some money on StubHub to get close to the action. So from watching games that close, tell me some of your observations. Doesn't have to be like, well, I thought Terrence Shannon's body language was poor in the second half of the season. I'm not looking for like, some take or something, but like, you chose to do this. You went to a ton of games of this season where it was just kind of, after the win at Wisconsin, we think we're about to roll. After the loss at Penn State, we don't think we're going to win again. It was just that kind of up and down, not advancing anywhere season. From sitting up close and going to as many games as you did, what were your overall thoughts on, what you observed?
So the one thing I thought about this a couple times during the season, being up close, I think you definitely get a different feel for like the players, like as people and not as just players. I would see a lot of stuff, on Twitter, people like, bashing certain guys or, their dedication or whatever, just saying like negative things about people on the team. And 95% of those people are probably people that haven't spent a penny on going to a game in decades, right?
Preach.
So first of all, I mean, this is probably somewhat hypocritical of me to say, given that I haven't been to games in so long before this year, but unless you're like there actually seeing these guys like in person, and seeing all the things that go on that you like, it doesn't show up in the box score that you don't see on TV. I think that kind of opened my eyes. It gave me a much more holistic view of the team, and it made me a lot more defensive of the team. Even when I would hear, friends or other line, I just complain about the team. I'd be like, no, these guys are, they're trying and things just aren't going our way, and yeah, we're not meeting expectations, but these are still a great group of guys on our team.
I'm sitting here with just the biggest smile on my face because, like, this is like a commercial. You're putting a ball on a tee for me, because I have always made that point of like, just go to practice, just come to a game, just sit close and observe the human beings you're talking about. Just do it, even as angry as you are, even as this guy is a lollygagger, this guy won't. Just go to a game. You can bring all that cynicism and sit there, and I guarantee it'll change you. I guarantee that being close, observing, it's even far beyond just like see them as a human being. It's see their age, Like when you're up close, it's like, oh man, that freshman on Minnesota, he looks like he's 14. Like, that type of, there's that sense to it, but there's also, you see personality, you see humans, it's so different. And that's what makes social media so hard, because then you turn around and you have people who, as you said, don't go to games, aren't the type of fan that want to attend and be involved. They want to distance themselves so they can lob the grenades. And I'm so glad you said that, because I feel like people are going to think I set you up. I'm like, okay, when we're done, you need to say exactly this, because that's my point about road games. But anybody who does it has that same kind of thing. You can't help but get caught up in that side of it. And that's what I love about college sports.
Yeah, and I would say, for anyone listening that, hasn't been to a game in years, go to one game next year and pick a game early in the season, and I guarantee you'll want to go to another game.
And just, you know, pick a game where you can go on StubHub and maybe late you pay $75 for a non-conference game and sit really close. And once you do that, you're bit with the, oh man, from up here, I can feel it, I can sense it, I can smell it, I can, you know, like there's this whole, you know, experience going on. You know, you say that, and I was gonna say, like, last thing here is, you know, you did the Illini basketball sabbatical. You did it in a season where things went poorly and ended with a quick loss in the Big Ten tournament and a quick loss in the NCAA tournament. But would you recommend this? You know, what recommendation would you write? You know, if you're writing on TripAdvisor about this, you know, what are you telling people about your sabbatical spent studying and following Illini basketball?
Yeah, I mean, so I know you mentioned a couple times, you know, that I was finding good seats, and yes, that's true. But at the same time, a lot of these road games were in places where they don't have a lot of demand for tickets, and I'm only buying one ticket for myself. Lots of times, like, you know, to buy a single ticket, you can get a pretty good deal. So I was still looking for the best value I could, in most of these games, and, you know, being one person looking for one ticket and being flexible and being willing to wait till the last minute is a good way to get yourself some good tickets. And then I had one other thing I was going to say. I think I mentioned a couple times where I didn't talk to any of the people, you know, on some of the road games, but one of the games in Champaign that I did buy the ticket on StubHub, ended up talking to the people that I was sitting next to, and it was their ticket that I had bought, and then ended up, you know, getting their number and bought two more tickets from them for later games in the season, at a pretty good price. So, you know, when you're in Champaign, you know, network with the people you're sitting by. Maybe you'll get a good connection for tickets for future games. And if you're going to go to road games, go to places like Nebraska, Minnesota, Penn State, as opposed to, say, Ann Arbor, East Lansing, Bloomington.
Right.
And you know, yeah, you might have to buy a flight or get a hotel to do the whole trip, but, you know, the tickets, you can spend $80 on a ticket there that would cost you, yeah, $400 at State Farm Center, for example.
So you think this made you more likely to go to games in the future, or less likely?
Yes.
More likely to go to road games, more likely to go to home games? Like, well, how did the experience change you, is I guess what I'm asking.
So I can't wait for the schedule to come out for next year. If there are road games on Saturdays or early on Sundays, I'm going to try to go to whatever I can. And for home games in Champaign, depending on the time of the games, you know, I can theoretically get down to Champaign by 7 o'clock most days with my work schedule. And, you know, if I get home by 1 in the morning, I'm fine. So I can't imagine it, you know, it's not going to be as intense as this year was, because I can't imagine myself taking off, you know, 2 days of work to go to a road game on a Tuesday, for example.
Right.
But I think I went to 14 games this year, including the Big Ten tournament. I would hope to go to at least 8 to 10 this coming year. I already have flights and hotel booked for Tennessee. Just need the tickets to go on sale. And
wow.
Yeah. Hoping to still, you know, continue going to a bunch of games.
That is great. That is great. And, you know, we're just 18 months away or so from a trip to LA to go see a Big Ten game.
Yeah,
at UCLA or USC. So, mm-hmm. It sounds like your travels will continue.
Yeah, I've never been to LA, so that'll be interesting.
There you go. Okay, Kevin. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for taking us back through your journeys, and I guess I'll see you out there on the road. I mean, I'm going to be at all these games unless it's my wife's birthday. So, I will. I'll see you at those 8 to 10 games next year.
Awesome. Thanks. I really appreciate giving me the opportunity to do this.
All right. Thanks, Go Illini.
Go Illini.